Well, good morning. It is good to have the privilege to stand before you and open God's Word. I would invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 7. And I'm going to begin this morning by reading verses 24 through 27 of Matthew chapter 7. I'd invite you to follow along silently in your copy of the Scriptures as I read these verses. "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Father, as we look into your word this morning, I pray that you would speak to our hearts through what is in this passage, these few brief verses. I pray that you would help us to understand and then take to heart what this passage says, and that we might be found to be more faithful servants of yours because of the challenge of this passage. Father, we ask your blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen. The passage that we have this morning that I read to you is the closing words to Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is found in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, three chapters. And it was seemingly addressed to specifically to the disciples, not necessarily just the 12, but probably a larger group of disciples. But there may have been a number in the multitudes who heard the Sermon on the Mount as well. The sermon begins with the Beatitudes. Jesus talks to his people about being salt and light. He tells them that their righteousness has to exceed the righteousness of the Jewish religious leaders of the day. He talks about how doing the right things isn't enough, but their hearts also need to be right. Then Jesus talks about motives, and he says if your motive is to impress people, then the recognition by men is its own reward, and you have all the reward you're going to get. Then he gives us his pattern for prayer, what we call the Lord's Prayer. He teaches that disciples are to lay up treasure in heaven and not to worry about physical needs, and that a person can only serve one master. Then he talks about judging, about prayer, about recognizing false prophets and false profession. And then we come to these verses, his conclusion to the Sermon on the Mount. Now, how is that for a two-minute run-through on the Sermon on the Mount, three chapters? Come to the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount, starting in verse 24 of Matthew chapter 7. Verse 24 begins with the word therefore, and you've all heard multiple times that when you come to the word therefore, that it's pointing back to something that's come before. And I think that the therefore in this passage is really not just pointing back to the couple of verses that comes before, but I think it's Jesus' way of saying that this is the conclusion, this is the application to the entire Sermon on the Mount. So Jesus is saying in verse 24, because of everything I've said, because of everything that's gone on, what we have in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, although Jesus didn't deliver it in chapters, you know. He says, based on everything I've said, there's two possible responses. The two responses are illustrated by two men who are building homes for their families. Now, I do recognize that Christians don't agree as to who the Sermon on the Mount applies to. There's a lot of different views, and we're not going to get into the discussion. However, acknowledging that, I want you to understand that these verses illustrate for us an important principle that's borne out in other passages of Scripture regarding our hearing and responding to the Word of God. I'd like to look at several things about the illustration that Jesus is using regarding these two men. First of all, I'd like to look at the fact that the characteristics of these two men in Jesus' illustration are very, very similar. First of all, I want you to notice that their outward practice of their religion is very similar. What did Jesus say about these two men? In verse 24, he says, "Whoever hears these sayings of mine..." Verse 26, he says, "Everyone who hears these sayings of mine..." What this means is that both of these people who Jesus is talking about, they're in a place to hear God's word. Hearing is more than simply being in church where the word is preached and checking your email while the preacher's speaking. It's more than turning on a Christian station in the background while you're at home to have some noise in the background. Hearing is listening to and receiving and understanding and considering the word. When Jesus says, "Whoever hears these sayings," and "whoever hears these sayings," he's talking about two people who are both in a position, they're in a situation where they're hearing the word of God, they're listening to it, they're paying attention to it, perhaps they're taking notes, perhaps they've got their Bibles open and they're doing some underlining. They're looking at the margin and they're doing some cross-referencing to what's being said. They're thinking about it. They're understanding it. And they're making conclusions and they're making decisions based on their understanding and their having received it and knowing what's being talked about. Both of these men, we would say that they're in church. Maybe they're in church Sunday morning, and maybe they come Wednesday night, and maybe they have their devotions regularly. But they're both under the preaching and the teaching of the Word. Secondly, the similarities between the two men is that the direction of their lives looks very similar. They have similar goals and similar intentions. In the illustration, both of them set out to build homes. Both of them want to provide a home for their family, a place to settle down and to raise their kids. They want a home that's in a good neighborhood and the kids are going to go to the good schools. They want a sound investment. But that's the illustration. Jesus is using that illustration to drive home a point about people's lives. Perhaps we'd say that both of these individuals in this illustration intend to build lives that were structured and stable and successful. They wanted to be good family men. They wanted to make sure that they were in a stable environment and that their families were provided for. They both desired, at least superficially, they both seemed to desire to have lives that were pleasing to God. They seem to be doing the right things. They seem to be making the right choices and the right decisions. So not only the practice of their religion is very similar and the direction of their lives is very similar, but the trials they face are very similar. Verse 25, Jesus says about the one, he says, "The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house." Verse 27, Jesus says of the second man, "The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house." The trials they face have the exact same description. They're not facing different things in their lives. They both experience the trials of life. They both experience the storms of life. They both live in a fallen world surrounded by sinners. Some of the people they interact with are believers and some of the people they interact with are unbelievers, but they're both living in a fallen world and dealing with the consequences of living in a world that's been impacted by sin. They both face temptation. They're both tempted to sin. They both experience sickness and prolonged health issues. If they're not experiencing the sickness personally, then they have a close relative, a close loved one who is going through these physical issues. They both know that this life doesn't last forever, and they're surrounded by reminders of the fact that death is one of the facts of life. They both go through financial struggles. Perhaps the loss of a job. Perhaps underemployment. Inflation. Maybe they've had to settle in a place that they really don't want to live because they can't afford to live somewhere else. Maybe they both have to choose which bills to pay because there isn't enough money to pay all the bills at the end of the month. Perhaps they've had some other devastating things happen to them. They both have struggles in relationships. Perhaps they're both estranged from family members. They're dealing with broken promises and unmet expectations and breaches in relationships. Jesus says that his description is that on both of these men, the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on the house. What I want you to see on the surface, that the men that Jesus is talking about have very, very similar experiences in their lives. They both outwardly have a practice of the right things religiously or spiritually. They're both trying to do what's right for their families and for their long-term future. And they both face all sorts of trials in their lives. But when the storms come, and the rain descends, and the floods came, and the winds blow and beat on the house, the consequences of the storms in their lives are incredibly different. What did Jesus say about them? Verse 25 again, the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house. And for the first man, it did not fall. Verse 27, the second man, the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. The illustration that Jesus is giving to us, the houses the men have built represent their lives. One man survived a series of trials that was something of the magnitude of Hurricane Katrina or Hurricane Sandy. And they went through that magnitude of trials and they came through it unscathed. The house they had built stood firm. The occupants of the house were safe and secure and warm. Their needs were still being met. The other man is nearly fatally shaken by the storm. When the storm passes and the wind stops and the rain ends and the waters subside, the man looks out through a pile of rubble that was his house. And he looks at himself and he says, "Oh, all my work is for nothing. All the hard work, all the time, all the energy I've put into this, it's been for nothing." He wonders if there's even a God who's out there. He wonders if there is a God, does he even know what's going on? And if he knows, does he care? He then probably gets busy trying to make up for what he's lost. In order to make up and try to get back all that he's lost in the storm, finds he doesn't have time for spiritual things any longer. He no longer reads the Bible. He no longer goes to church. If he goes to the church, he probably slinks into the back row and has nothing to sing about. He has nothing to praise God about. In his mind, God let him down. He can't talk about God to anyone. He's frustrated. He's discouraged. He's perhaps despondent because everything he thought he believed and all the religious things he thought he was doing right, they failed him. And while this is a temporal result, the eternal results, the eternal consequences could be much different. What made the difference? What may make the difference in the lives of some who may be here today if in the coming weeks or months they start to face some incredible challenges and some incredible trials in their lives? Well, let me first of all point you to what Jesus said about them and what the difference is. Verse 24, Jesus says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them." The second person, verse 26, Jesus says, "Everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them." The difference in Matthew chapter 7 is a matter of what someone does after they hear the word. Both men are sitting under the preaching and the teaching, the instruction of God's word. Both men are listening carefully. Both men are considering and pondering what the word of God is saying. But when the service is over, the invitation's been given, the final song has been sung, the benediction has been pronounced, and the doors are opened and they go away, they go two different directions. One hears and does, the other hears and does not do. Let's look a little bit deeper into this. There's a parallel passage in Luke chapter 47, similar sermon, but probably preached at a different time. Starting in verse 47 of Luke chapter 6, Jesus says, "Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing," Luke 6:49 says, "the man who heard and did nothing," this is the one in Matthew chapter 7, "who heard and did not do them. He who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." And you put Matthew chapter 7 and Luke chapter 6 together, and you get the full picture of the different things that's going on in the lives of these men and the activities they're doing and how they're approaching building the house. One man took the time. He put forth the effort. He made the preparation to have a proper foundation to build upon. The other man just jumped right in and built. No foundation. No preparing the ground. Nothing that would give stability to the structure that's being built. The foundation is what's so important in the house. Several years ago, we had hired a contractor to tear down a 80-year-old garage on our property and to build a new garage. And it took longer than it should have for the contractor to get the work done. But I can tell you, every winter, we're reminded of the fact that the contractor didn't quite do something he should have done in preparing the foundation for the garage, because the side door, when the ground freezes, something moves the way it shouldn't, and the side door gets really difficult to open and close. Now, fortunately, the garage didn't crumble, doesn't fall apart, but I have this nagging reminder of how important proper preparation, preparing the ground, building a foundation that is the proper foundation, and everything is right when you build a house. If it's that important when you're building a house, how much more important it is to ensure that you have the right foundation, the right groundwork, the right preparation when you're trying to build a life. Patient persistence in faithful obedience is to your life what laying a foundation is to a house. A pattern of how heartfelt obedience is what makes the difference. Now, I will tell you, I'm using some words that I'm choosing very carefully. Patient persistence in faithful obedience. The obedience can't simply be doing what you think you ought to do because it's going to make God happy, but it's obedience that grows out of your faith. You're trusting in the Lord. Your belief in who He is and what He says about Himself and what He says your problem is and the fact that He is the only solution for the problem of your sinfulness. A pattern of heartfelt obedience, and there I'm pointing also to faithful obedience, is what makes a difference. Notice that the first man built upon the rock, while the second man built upon the sand. Jesus is very much definitely specifying the rock and the sand as the building location for both of these men. If you look at the passage, the rock must be hearing the word, understanding as much as you can what the word is saying and what it means, believing what the word says, and then obeying or doing what the word says. Building your life on the doctrines and the principles and the precepts of God's word, coupled with trust in who God is and what He says, trusting the truthfulness of the word of God. If building on the rock is hearing the word and understanding it, obeying it, and mingling that with faith and doing what it says, then building on the sand can be a number of things, I think. Building on the sand can be building on bad theology. Boy, there's enough of that out there. You can turn to a number of different channels on your television and find bad theology being taught, and there's an awful lot of that that invites you to build your life on it, trust your life, commit your life to it. Building on man's philosophies, whether it's your own philosophy of life or someone else's that you've adopted, can be the sand. But building on the sand can be as simple as possessing all the right truths, but choosing to not live in faithful obedience to what those truths are telling us we ought to be doing. Building on the sand can be doing the right things with the wrong motives. It can be doing the right things to be seen of men. It can be valuing the things of earth more than things of heaven. It can be doing it my way. You may be doing the right things while your heart is raging with hatred and envy and pride. It can be partial obedience. It can certainly be intellectually knowing the truth, but not believing it. And because you don't believe it, you don't do it. Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, like the man who built his house on the rock. He took the time, did the preparation, laid the foundation, and built a house that was able to withstand the storms of life. What Jesus is saying in Matthew chapter 7 and Luke chapter 47 about hearing and obeying is, you understand, a consistent theme throughout Scripture. Scripture always tells us that we need not to just listen, not to just hear, but that we need to do. And it tells us that doing the Word, doing what the Word tells us to do, is an indisputable mark of faith. Luke 11:28. I'm just going to give you 9 different passages that talk about obeying the Word. I'm just going to read through these quickly, but I want to drive home the point that obedience, faithful obedience, is so important. Luke 11:28, but he said, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. John 13:17, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. James 1:21, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word. Receive the word. Verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Verse 25 of James chapter 1, he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. James chapter 2, verse 14, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? James 2:20, but do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? And then James then uses the examples of Abraham and Rahab to illustrate that faith must be demonstrated through the works. Verse 26 of James chapter 2, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3, now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Here's the evidence of our profession of faith. We know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Revelation 22:14 and 15. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters. Whoever loves and practices a lie, as contrasted to those who practice the truth. 1 Samuel 15:22. And Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. Throughout Scripture, the Old Testament, the New Testament, over and over again, this is just a sampling of the passages, the Word of God emphasizes to us that hearing the Word, if that's all you're doing, does a little good. Hearing the word may lead to you deceiving yourselves and fooling yourselves and kidding yourselves into thinking that you're okay because you're hearing it, because you're attending church, because you're in a church where the word of God is preached, and maybe you listen to Christian stations and you have devotion, some type of Bible reading that you do. All those things are good and all those things are important, but they don't get you anywhere in and of themselves. Hearing the word has to be coupled with believing the word, and then with doing the word. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. My challenge for all of us this morning, the question that I have for all of us this morning as we close, is very simple. Where do you go from here? Not just this Sunday morning, but every time you're in church, every time you hear the word preached, after the word is done being preached, what do you do with it? Where do you go? Do we think about it and say, oh, that was nice. I'm glad I was there. It made me feel good to be in church this morning. I've got what I need for the week, and now I can go home and get busy with life. Where do we hear the word and say, there's something I need to do. There's something I need to start doing that I haven't been doing. There's something I need to get back to doing that I used to do. There's something I need to stop doing. Is somehow, are we allowing the word of God to impact our lives and to make a difference in how we live? Are we doing what the word tells us to do? Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And no matter what comes up in life, no matter how intense the trials are, no matter how difficult the challenges are, no matter how strained the relationships are, no matter how tight the finances are, no matter how painful the physical condition is, the house stands. What do you do with the word after it's preached? Let's pray. Father, in these verses in Matthew chapter 7, externally, the people look alike. They're doing the same things. They're going through the same challenges. They're experiencing the same things. But there's a difference. Father, if there's some here this morning, even if there's just one here this morning who hears the word and then walks away and says, I've done my job. I can get on with life now. Lord, I pray you'd prick their hearts. Challenge them to obey. Father, for those who hear the word and are regularly in the habit of being sensitive and trying to obey by your grace, Father, I pray you just help them to continue to be faithful in that regard. Father, take these verses and apply them to our hearts and to our lives, to the coming days and week, according to the needs of our individual hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen.